Very good morning to one and all, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We live in a world where the sin of fornication is no longer a stigma. It is so common that nobody blink an eyelid. Fornication is not the same as adultery. The word fornication is used to describe when two individuals, a man and a woman who are not married, and then they live together and then they have a sexual relationship. In the case of adultery, it is the same sin, but it is committed by a married person, man or woman. Adultery, of course, is worse because you break two commandments. You break your marriage vow. That means you have lied to your spouse. When you marry, you promise that you will not commit the sin of adultery, but you did. And then, of course, you commit the sexual sin as well. And that's why it is two commandments that you have broken. Thou shalt not bear false witness, as well as this commandment. And of course, the commandment that you sin against God is you have taken the name of God in vain. Because you are a Christian. How could a Christian who bears the image of Christ commit such a terrible, terrible, heinous sin? And as long as you and I do not see fornication as a heinous sin, as long as our consciousness is dulled and numbed by this very common and public transgression, we will never see fornication for what it really is. We need to look at this sin with God's eyes, not with the eyes of the world. The eyes of the world is that it is a beautiful thing. As long as it is done by two consenting adults, it will continue to be portrayed as something that is normal, as something that is beautiful, because you see this in all the movies. You see this in the lives of very well-known famous sports personalities. You see this in the idols of many young people and older people. You see this in your house, when you watch movies, television, serials, even cartoon. They are all owned by the evil one, controlled by Satan, the god of this world, sending forth his message that sin is pleasurable, sin is beautiful, sin is fun, sin is nice, and there is nothing wrong with sin. And this sin of fornication is particularly more dangerous to the male gender. That is why the Bible kept on giving us men tons and tons of portions of God's word, especially from the book of Proverbs, warning men of the serious danger of this sin of fornication. Somehow this is more critical in men than in women. Do not know why. But this is man's weakness. You see this in the marriage vow. The weakness of the Christian wife is usurpation of the home, the leadership in the home. And that's why God said to the Christian wife, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. And the weakness of the Christian husband, love your wives the way that Christ loved his church. That means this is our weakness, to love more than one woman at the same time. Many examples in the Bible of men having many wives. Not a single example of a woman having many husbands all at the same time. Do you realize that? And as long as we recognize that this is man's greatest weakness, gender, man, male, you will do something to protect yourself. You will not want to do anything that will put yourself in a very awkward and difficult and dangerous position. When I tell people that whenever I give a lady a ride, she sits at the back, day or night, people laugh. People do not care. People think that it is a silly thing. It's a funny thing because it is so awkward. It's as if you are the driver and that person is the boss. And so the person may feel awkward. Also, the person wants to sit in front. If the person wants to sit in front, find another ride. You have to protect yourself. 9 out of 10 times, 100 out of 100 times, may be fine. All you need is 101 and you'll be in trouble. There is a leader in the church that is facing a nightmare of a situation. The reason is they sit together in the church van. He sat with the lady, a member of the church. 9 out of 10 times it was fine. But all you need is that one time. Something happened in the relationship and now he is being charged by this woman for a behavior that is not very Christian. Touching her body, sitting together. You have a lady passenger right next to you when you're driving. 10 times out of 10 times you may be fine. Your relationship with the lady may be fine. But what happens when your relationship with the lady suddenly turns sour? And then she started to make up stories that you touch her. It will be your word against hers, even if it is proven wrong at the end of this situation. Your reputation has already been tarnished. We live in a world where such transgressions are still very vivid and very real. If you do not do everything that is possible to protect yourself, you put yourself in a very dangerous, awkward situation. The sexual sin in our world is a sin that many people just simply turn a blind eye to. If a young man and a young woman going on holiday and they share the same bedroom, nobody cares. It's so common. It's all over the world. You have famous sportsmen telling you that the girlfriend is pregnant. Who cares? The world doesn't care. This is the world that we're living in today. And that is why the Bible warns us, without changing its standard and value, that as long as we are God's children, as long as we are Christians, the command is flee fornication. You ask yourself one simple question. Why is it that in James chapter 4 verse 7, the Bible tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you? And why is it that in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18, we are told to flee fornication? That's to run away, turn your back on fornication. But when it comes to the devil, you resist him. You stand your ground, the way Jesus Christ stood his ground when the devil came to test him after his 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness without food, without water. He resisted by quoting scriptures. And God wants us to do the same when we are facing Satan. Resist the devil, no matter where, no matter in what state or condition that you are in. You stand your ground and you stare him in the face and you keep on quoting scripture, and in time to come, he will flee from you. You stand. Why is it that when it comes to fornication, we are told to run? The way that Joseph, the young man who was sold into slavery by his own older brothers because of jealousy. He was a godly young man. He was the best slave Potiphar ever had. Potiphar trusted this young man with everything that he owned because he was honest, he was a man of integrity, he was hardworking, he was trusted. So much so that the Bible said that Potiphar only cared about whatever food that was on his table. But he was also a handsome young man, and his wife had an eye for handsome slaves. And she tried to seduce him. And then one day, he went into the house to conduct some business and he found himself alone with Potiphar's wife. And after many, many days prior to this incident, Joseph kept on pushing her away, kept on turning his back on her. But this time, she grabbed hold of him. And then he turned and he fled and he ran. And she got hold of his outer garment and then charged him for attacking her. This is a world that we are living in where the sexual transgression is a very, very powerful weapon of Satan. We have to flee. We have to flee fornication because fornication is a sin that begins with the mind. That's why Jesus Christ told us in the Sermon on the Mount, if a man, gender, male, lusted after a woman in his heart, he has already committed adultery. That's why we have to turn our back. We have to flee fornication. How to flee fornication when it is all around us. It's in the billboard. It's in the internet. That's pornography. You find it in the movies. You find it everywhere. I read in the internet that Playboy magazine has stopped publishing their magazine with nude pictures. Why? Because they say that it is no use now, because this kind of filth, this kind of nudity is so common on the internet now. Nobody will buy their magazine anymore. Playboy magazine, that's on the internet. We live in a world where this is a transgression that will afflict many young men. And if you do not keep yourself pure right from the very beginning, when you turn 12, even younger perhaps, you're going to be plagued, you're going to be haunted, and you're going to continue to fight this battle that will creep into your soul, and it will remain there all the days of your life until the Lord says, come home. Keep yourself pure. Stay away from any picture, any sight on the internet that may cause you to cross the line and commit the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The moment you lust after a woman, you're going to stop it there. You stop entertaining. The moment you entertain, the moment you think that you will not get caught, you're going to get from the thought into the act itself. And that's how many have crossed the line and pay a heavy price. And pastors are not excluded, for your information. And I'm talking about BP pastors who have been caught committing adultery. Please realize the seriousness of it. And the sad part is one of the members of that congregation even took her own life after that. Don't play the fool with this sin. And that's why the Bible's warning is you turn your back and you run. Young men, men all included, especially men, you guard yourself, because at the end of this road is hell, is death. That's what awaits you. If you indulge and play the fool with this very seductive and dangerous sin, you're going to pay a heavy price. And the Apostle Paul realized and understand that in the city of Corinth, it was a very licentious city that was very similar to the cities of our world today. Remember our first message on Corinthian? To be called a Corinthian is to be called a person who will allow all his passions and all the lusts in his heart to run wild. All kinds of passions, whether it is food or sex or whatever, just let them run wild. That's a Corinthian. It is a word to mean a licentious, lascivious life, where your passion just simply run wild. Whatever your heart desires, whatever you can afford, just go for it. Isn't this our world? That's why it is so appropriate, the warning that we have in Holy Scriptures. And it all begins with verse 9. Please understand that a fornicator and adulterer, they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. This is a description of a person who allowed these transgressions to be part of their way of life. We are not saying that you and I as believers will not commit this sin. We will. Because it's only the thought. And that's why we have to stop it. But the Bible here is talking about people who indulge in it and they don't care for it anymore. They see this as a lifestyle. They don't even struggle to get rid of this transgression. They allow this transgression to simmer because they think that they can hide it. They think that no man knows. You should not be careful about what man knows. You should be very careful about what God knows. And you know you can never hide from Him. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He knows exactly what you are doing. There's nothing hidden from Him. And that's why He made it very clear. You call yourself a Christian, that means you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the blood of Christ. Then prove it. Prove it by fleeing from this sin of fornication. Don't indulge in it. Do whatever it takes to keep yourself holy and pure from this transgression. And so verse 13 says, meat for the belly, belly for the meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. This body is going to be destroyed by God, which was last week's message. Now the body is not for fornication. Why? It has to be for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. The Lord wants to help you. The Lord wants to take this body that God has continued to give to you after salvation to be His witness. And that's why the Lord will enable this body, the Lord will take care of this body, but you have a responsibility to make sure that this body is for the Lord only and not for any other agenda. Definitely not for your own personal desires. We have to say to the Lord, if He is my Lord and my Savior, He is my master, I'm the slave. I have no more right to do whatever I want. My duty here on earth is to do only what my master wants, and that is Christ. And where do I find the will of my master, Jesus Christ? The only depository, as one commentator puts it, the only depository of the will of God and the word of God is the Bible. That's the only place. Nowhere else will you ever be able to find God's will outside of scriptures. Nowhere else. General creation, you can find God's will. You can see the hand of God. You can see the presence of God in creation. But to know the will of God, it has to be the Bible. And if you keep on staying away from the Bible, you will never be able to know the will of God. And therefore, you will continue to struggle with this terrible sin of fornication because of your lack of knowledge of God's truth and the power that is found in God's truth that can clean up your mind. So that your mind will no longer become a slave to this sin of fornication. God's word can clean up all the filth that you have been storing up all the days of your life, right up to the time of your salvation. Only the word of God can do that. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said in His high priestly prayer, "Sanctify them by Thy truth, O Heavenly Father, Thy word is truth." That was His prayer for the disciples. Sanctify means to clean up. And the more you read God's word, the more you apply it into your heart, the more you understand it, automatically the word of God will have the power to give you a new mind, a mind that is clean and pure and holy and righteous. Don't you want this kind of mind as a child of God? Do you know why God insists so hard upon all His children? The importance of keeping this body holy, pure and clean. Because this is the only body that the world can see. The world cannot see your mind. The world cannot see your conscience. They can't see your heart. They can see your body. But this body is controlled by the mind. This body is controlled by the desires. This body is controlled by your motive. And if your mind is not clean, the rest of your body cannot be controlled by a mind that is clean. Because it's not clean, and therefore you'll be controlled by a mind that is dirty. Dirty, where did the dirt come from? From the world. From the philosophies of the world that we continue to be exposed to. We find them in schools. We find them now on the internet. We find them everywhere we go. The moment you open your eyes, you walk out of your door, you find the filth all over. And that's why it has to be a continuous, constant cleansing. Never stop studying the word, never stop memorizing, never stop understanding, and never stop having a heart of obedience. And Apostle Paul gave us a very simple instruction in verse 14 to tell us why you must flee fornication. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? That's what it means. This body of yours, they are the instruments of Christ. These hands of yours, they are called Christ's hands. This mouth of yours, it's Christ's mouth. The feet of yours, Christ's feet. That's why you cannot just go anywhere you like. Pokemon Go is in Singapore. Right? That's what the internet says. So how many of you have downloaded this Pokemon Go? Your feet belongs to Christ, not Pokemon. So you don't go anywhere in Singapore and waste your time trying to get this creature. I don't know what it is. Alright, it's called Pokemon. We used to have written a track concerning this Pokemon. It's demonic. The root word. Where did the word come from? Pokemon. It doesn't sound Christian, definitely not. It made the person who designed this billions of dollars, I was told. Overnight, that company, the shares went up by billions of dollars. It's a money-making venture. The danger, some of the people who have read and shared with me. The danger is some restaurants will tell these people, put this creature in my restaurant so that many people will come. There are some crooks, some thieves, some rapists. They also play Pokemon. They wait for you. They know that one day you're going to come. They will rob you. They will do terrible things to you. You go to this place and you think it's a fun thing, it's a game. And in the middle of the night, you just travel all over Singapore, wherever you go in the world. And now they have a report of one Olympic from Japan play Pokemon in Brazil. They rack up, $5,000 of telephone bill. Playing Pokemon all over the world. Your feet does not belong to you. You don't listen to Pokemon. You go where Jesus Christ wants you to go. So if you have downloaded Pokemon, counsel to you is delete it. That's the only cure. Because it is very addictive, it is very seductive, people are going to talk about it, you're going to have people sharing with you, and then if you do not have it on your phone, you feel so out of place, and you think that this is fun. What's the reward? The reward is waste your time. Waste your time. You get what creature after creature after creature, and then at the end of it, you're going to be given $1 million? Nothing. Just a waste of your time with this creature. And you think it's fun because everybody is doing it. It's the in thing. Think. This mind is no longer yours. Your member, your mind belongs to Christ. That's what this word means. The instrument for Jesus Christ, where Jesus will continue to do his work in saving souls on this earth, is your body. Please understand this. Your mouth is now Christ's mouth if you are born again. If you have been washed, if you have been sanctified, if you have been justified. Your hands have now become Christ's hand. So do not do anything with your hands that are not according to God's word. Your feet, don't go to places that God says, stay out. You know some of these places. It is a place of sin. It's a place where sinners dwell. It is a place where mockers, scorners will sit and make a lot of judgments and they will mock and make fun of Christ. You don't go to these places. You stay away. Your body is now the image of Jesus Christ. That's what it means by, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. How can you take this body now that bears the image of Christ that now have become the instruments of Christ, where Christ will now take this body of yours that he has sanctified with his precious blood. He has finished his work and seated in heaven at God's right hand. Then how is he doing his work on earth? Through you. Through this body. And one day this body will finish the task and duty that Christ has, and then God will take you home. This body is left behind because this body is not suitable for the heavenly environment, and that's why this body will be left behind. God did not give us a glorified body immediately after salvation for service, which will make us indestructible. God continued to say to us after salvation, I have a purpose for you after I've given you the faith to believe in Christ. And that purpose is stay behind on this earth. And where did God put you on this earth? In Singapore. And God has brought you into this church. And God wants you to do two things in your important purpose of witness. When you come to church, make sure your life is a blessing to the people in this church. If you are a worshiper, you're not a member, you can also be a blessing to us. For whatever reason you do not want to be a member, it's between you and the Lord, but we welcome you still. But as a member, you have taken a membership oath. You have a greater responsibility than a worshiper who is not a member. To help other members of the same congregation, the same family of God in this part of Singapore, to contribute your life so that at the end of your life here, you have built up the lives of someone, some people in this church, to help them become more like Christ. That's what you are here for. And that's what the church must be to you. And that's why the ministries of the fellowship groups, they are so important. To me, it is a very sad and tragic observation to see so many of us on the Lord's Day, but so few people in the golden years, in the AF, the SAF, and all the young adults and the fellowship ministries. Why? Why are you not interested in helping other believers of your same age group to become better believers by your life of testimony? Why are you not interested? I cannot understand that. If you are truly born again in Christ, washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, that cannot not happen. That desire cannot not be present. How can you be a child of God and have more desires to be in the world than to be with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? I cannot understand this. Because to me, it's an impossibility. Because the power of God, the Spirit of God who indwell us, will not let that happen. Because the Spirit of God cannot enjoy the world out there. Lot was a miserable person all the days of his life until Sodom was destroyed, until the angels literally dragged him out of that city. The Bible said that his spirit was vexed day and night. He was so uncomfortable, he was so troubled in his soul, because he was in a world that he found himself, I should not be in. We live in a world where the whole world is Sodom, at least in the case of Lot. He could get out of Sodom and he could join his uncle Abraham and live amongst the servants and the family members of uncle Abraham. When the world is Sodom, where do we get out of this world where everywhere, every city that you go to, every country you migrate to, it's not going to be any different. It is a global Sodom. Where can I get out of Sodom? In the church. In the church, amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, in prayer, in Bible study, in fellowship. In the church. That's the only safety. Why is it that we have no desire for this kind of safety? Where we are among holy people, where we are among saints, where we are among family of God, where every one of us have been washed, cleansed, and sanctified and justified by the Spirit of God. That's why we need to help one another to keep these members to be used by Christ. I need your help and you need my help. We need one another to help each other, to spur each other on, to make sure that these members, my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my hands, my feet, are all kept for Jesus' use only. And sometimes I cannot see, you can see, you rebuke me, you help me, you reprove me, I say thank you. If you know that I'm wrong, and you don't tell me, God says, you are not my friend. Because the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Do you want me to see something wrong in you, to keep my mouth shut, and then to continue to be your friend, to maintain some semblance of friendship and peace? Because if I were to tell the truth, it's going to hurt you, it's going to offend you, and probably our relationship will be ruined, will be soured. And so in order to maintain this sweet relationship, I keep my mouth shut, I see the wrong. I don't say anything. You want me to do that? Because as a pastor, sometimes I will see things differently from you. And then when I see things differently from you, I would like to let you know. And in the course of letting you know, I know you'll be hurt. And so what should I do? To hurt you by telling you the truth, which you do not like, and fail my duty before God? The only smile that I want to see is the smile on the face of my Savior. When I share with all of you that as a pastor, I have no friends in the church, I'm not kidding. I mean it. As a pastor, your spiritual well-being, I have to answer to the Lord one day. And I'm scared of failing Him and failing all of you. And so if I see something wrong, I can maintain some semblance of peace with you by just keeping my mouth shut. Don't say anything. But I can't sleep. I feel miserable. And so, I will try my best to say it in a way that is as Christian as possible. But at the end of it, it will still be painful because it's the truth. And you will not like it. And I know that people will not like it. And they want to take revenge. They want to hit back. All kinds of ways. So be it. But I still have to tell the truth. Because these members belongs to Christ. And because you call yourself a Christian, and you are part of the membership, it is our responsibilities as leaders to help you. And you do not like it, I'm so sorry, but we still have to say it. Because it is according to Holy Scriptures. That's why the Bible tells us, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And I do not want to give to you the kisses of an enemy, because I will be deceiving you. This body, the Bible made it very clear. If you are a Christian, dress modestly. When you get married, conduct yourself in a Christian manner everywhere you go. When you go on holiday, conduct yourself in a Christian manner. Everywhere you go, you don't stop being members of Christ. You never stop being instrument of Christ. Day or night, public or private, everywhere you go, let it be a demonstration of Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. So that when you share the word with them, you don't have to say too much. You don't have to explain too much, because they have already seen Christ in your life. Because you dress differently, because you think differently, you behave differently. And so now, how many in Singapore will go for this Pokemon Go? And so you go ahead, or you go along, or you are going to be different. It's your choice. You know that that game is addictive, because it has already addicted half the world, or everywhere in the world where this thing has already switched on and been given permission by the government. Whatever, I don't know how it works. You're going to be different? Then be different. Be really different in practical ways. Don't just be different in front of others who are Christians. Be different because you are different in Christ. Second reason, verse 16 to 17. First, instruments of Christ. This body of ours, who cannot use it for anything else, especially fornication. Please understand the nature of the sin of fornication. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Now what exactly does this mean? Now my understanding of one body, when a husband and wife marry, the Bible says that they are one. Now this was first introduced to us in Genesis chapter 2, when Adam and Eve got married before there was sin. And then God used this and mentioned this again in Ephesians 5. When God gave instruction concerning the behavior and conduct of the Christian wife and the Christian husband, at the end of it, two flesh become one. And therefore, it is only within marriage, between a Christian husband and a Christian wife, then the oneness is applied. And yet down here, it's not even talking about marriage as we look at this verse on the surface. It talks about fornication. It talks about a sexual transgression. And yet, Paul says, don't you know, for two saith he shall be one flesh. What exactly does he mean by that? Is he trying to compare and tell us that the sin of fornication is like marriage? Of course not. Because marriage is pure. Marriage is good. Marriage is godly. It is designed by God. Sexual relationship is only acceptable to God within the confines of marriage. And yet, down here, the Apostle Paul deliberately, of course, by the inspiration of God, he makes no mistakes. He is telling us, don't you know what? That the one which is joined to an harlot is one body, for two saith he shall be one flesh. What the Apostle Paul is trying to say is this. Only within the confines of Christian marriage is a sexual relationship acceptable to God. Anything outside. And why is it that you want to commit a sexual relationship with a harlot when this is only approved by God within the confine of marriage where two persons become one? You are not, but you are trying to commit a transgression outside of marriage, pretending that two persons can become one when you will never be. And you are a Christian. This person is a harlot. This body, they are members of Christ. That means you are representing Christ on earth in this mortal flesh of yours. And when you commit the sin of fornication, do you know what you are doing? You are saying that Jesus Christ is now committing this terrible, terrible transgression. You look at verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's what it means when you become a Christian, you and the Lord becomes one in the spiritual sense. That is why the sin of fornication is so heinous in the sight of God. That's why as a child of God, when this is supposed to be an instrument of Christ, you cannot go into any form of fornication. And that's why the moment you begin in the mind, you've got to stop it there. Because your mind also belongs to Christ. And that's why to God it is a very serious transgression. And you and I have to recognize the seriousness of it, otherwise you're going to play with it. As long as you do not see this as a sin that is serious, you will continue to indulge and you'll say, never mind. That is our problem. And that's what the world continues to do. They like to use words that will euphemistically cloak a heinous sin. You call homosexuality sodomite. Sodomy. Sodomy is a terrible word. Change it to alternate lifestyle. You go to an hospital, they call it gender reorientation. These are all euphemistic words to describe a terrible, terrible transgression. Because man likes to give themselves this impression that if we give it a new name, a new coat of paint, what is ugly, what is smelly, what is evil will now become beautiful, good, and fragrant. We deceive ourselves. We are Christians. Don't let the world dictate and determine what is right and what is wrong for us. Let the word of God dictate. And fornication is a heinous sin. How can you take this member's instrument of Christ and commit fornication with a harlot? Don't you understand that the sexual relationship is a beautiful relationship that is only within the confines of marriage? Did God not give that to us? When a husband and a wife got married, two become one. And now why are you trying to become one with a harlot? As if you are married. You are not. You are married to Christ in spirit. Verse 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's how important you are to Christ. That's what it means when the Bible says, everywhere you go, the image of Jesus Christ is with you. Everywhere you go. You know how important you are to the world? The world doesn't understand. Why do you think in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us the world does not deserve all of God's children? They don't deserve. They don't appreciate, they don't value you, they don't realize how important you are to them. You should. God does. You imagine in a world, in a room, for example, your classroom, in your workplace, where they never have a truly born-again believer in their midst. The kingdom of heaven is so far away from them. I know that because my whole family, we never heard about Christ. I never heard about Christ until my sister went to university. When she was 18, I was 17. And then when she became a Christian, she brought Christianity into our home for the first time. I never realized that my home had been a home filled with darkness and the kingdom of heaven was so far away from us until my sister brought the gospel back. So 17 years of my life, my home was in darkness, spiritual darkness. The kingdom of heaven was very far away from us. We never had the truth until she became a believer and brought the gospel into our home. And then the kingdom of heaven became so near, it was only a prayer away. And if I were to listen to her gospel, if I were to watch her witness and testimony, and then I pray the prayer of salvation, I will be transformed from a sinner to a saint. I'll be delivered from hell and death to heaven and eternity. That's what you can do to your classmates. If you are the only believer in the classroom, you are the entrance into the kingdom of heaven by your life of holiness because you are an instrument of Christ. By the gospel you share the words of Christ. And if any of your classmates were to believe in Jesus Christ, having observed your holy witness and testimony, they will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And before you joined the class, the kingdom of heaven was far away from them. until you arrive. It became so near, right next to them. It's the same in your home. It's the same in your office. It's the same in your tour group. Everywhere you go. That's how precious you are to God. And that's why God says, what? How can you take this body that is called the members, instrument of Christ, and then you commit fornication with an harlot? You can never let it be. You are one spirit with Jesus Christ when you accepted Him as Lord and as Savior. And verses 19 and 20, which will be next Lord's Day message, the Bible tells us, how is that possible? The Spirit of God lives in you. That's how it's possible. And finally, verse 18. Fornication is the worst of all the sins of the flesh. Flee fornication. Why? Every sin that a man doeth is outside the body. If I lie to you, I am the liar, you are the victim. If I kill you, I am the killer, you are the victim. But when I commit fornication, the Bible here says, he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. We are not talking about rape. In the case of raping, you are the culprit, that person is the victim. But the sin of fornication means both parties must be agreeable. Both parties must say yes, and that's fornication. And so when I sin the sin of fornication, I sin with this person, and this person sin against me. And that's why you sin against your own body, because you cause that person to sin also. That's why of all the sins of the flesh, we're not talking about wrong doctrines, we're not talking about sin of pride, sins of the flesh, like killing, like lying, covetousness, all these sins of the flesh, sins of fornication is the worst, because you need two persons for this sin to be called sin. For the rest, all you need is one. But this one is deadly and dangerous. And that is why it is so important that you nip this in the bud and you do not allow this sin, which is the worst of all the carnal sin, to prevail, to dominate. And if you are in this sin, bear in mind the warning from God, you shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You can call all you want and say all you want and take all the Lord's Supper you want, and you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. God means His word. If you call yourself a Christian, please be a Christian. Live the life of a Christian. You are instrument of Christ. You carry with you, the moment you open your mouth and say, I'm a Christian, this body instantaneously must now bear the image of Christ. Your mind, your mouth, your heart, your hands, your feet, it must be Christ now. He owns it, every single one of them. And when you transgress this sin, bear in mind, you are united with Christ in spirit. You cannot allow yourself to commit this sin with a harlot. And finally, the sin of fornication is the worst of all the sins of the flesh. Stay far away from it. It will ruin you, it will destroy you, and the end of it, what you have, is hell. You don't believe? Turn to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, every man must memorize, must know. Okay? Verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discern among the youths a young man void of understanding. That means this man doesn't know God's word. Passing through the street near her corner. Please note, her corner. What was he doing there? Wrong place. And he went away to her house. Wrong time. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Thinking that he could hide and nobody could see. And what did he do there? What did he find? Verse 10. And behold, he saw, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. Subtle, cunning of heart. She is loud, she is stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, outside, now in the streets. What is she doing? Lieth in wait at every corner. For whom? For the simple one, the young man, void of understanding. She caught him, she kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. Have I prayed my vows? So you are very spiritual, so am I. That's what she meant in verse 14. You have prayed your vows, so have I. You have brought your peace on, so have I. You have peace with God, so have I. Therefore came I forth to meet you, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. She will praise you. She will, well, you are the best person. I've been looking for a man just like you all my life. And you foolishly will believe. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt, very rich. I perfume my bed with myrrh, with aloes, with cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love unto the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love, with loves. Aren't you afraid about your husband? Well, don't worry. The good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's on a business. He will not come back. Don't worry. We will not get caught, in other words. He had taken a bag of money with him and will not come home at the day appointed. And will come home at the day appointed. And with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. You see how the Bible describes it? How did she force him? Flattering of her lips. So man, you watch out. Your ego is going to be your weakness. She goeth, he goeth after her straightway. Immediately he succumbed. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, to be beaten, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. He will die. Hearken unto me now, therefore, all ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. Stay far away from such people. For she cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Watch verse 27. Her house is the way to where? To hell. Going down to the chambers of death. Men, take heed. Remember Proverbs 7. Wives, give this Proverbs 7 to your husbands. Every time they go overseas, on business, on holiday, alone especially, give this to them. Put it into a phylactery. What's a phylactery? A box that you tie on your head. You go to Jerusalem, you go to Israel, you see many of them. You put this on them. And put this verse inside. Proverbs 7, tie on their head, tie on their hand. So every time when they want to scratch their head, they see this box, okay, Proverbs 7. They don't forget. You laugh. You won't be laughing when you find them in transgression. This is serious. Entrepreneurship. Go overseas here. Go overseas there. All you need is one moment of weakness and stupidity, and you are dead. All your years and all your lives of faithfulness, all your years of trust that you have built up between you and your wife, out the window instantaneously. And your relationship will be damaged for life. God warns us, take heed, right from the very beginning of your relationship with Christ, you beware of this transgression of fornication, and guard your heart and your mind, and guard them well. They are instruments of Christ. You are spiritually united with Christ as one. Don't commit fornication with an harlot. And remember, it is the worst of all the sins of the flesh. Not only do you sin against that person, you sin against your own body because you caused that person to sin against you. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to have the fear of God in our hearts, especially for all of us who are your children, especially the men, young and old in this congregation, that we may take heed from thy holy word, never to sin this sin of fornication, but to flee from it, to turn our backs on it, and never toy with it. And we pray, Father, that you grant to all of us the strength and the discipline of will and heart and mind to keep this sin far away from us. May what we see and what we hear and what we read and watch in our world today be that which is holy, be that which is pure, be that which is godly, so that we will truly become holy instruments for our Master's use. We thank thee, Father, for this honor and privilege of salvation, and after salvation, to give to us this purpose, to be a blessing to others, to be a witness to the sinner out there in need of the Savior. What an honor and privilege. Help us as your children not to fail thee, but to keep ourselves in the path of righteousness and holiness and flee from this sin of fornication, that others, by our good works, may see Christ in us and glorify our Father, who art in heaven. For this we ask with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.